Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help to men. Hey, just a little shout out to our guys in New Zealand, man. We know we got men that are there that listen into our show. How do you say something in New Zealand to say other than just hi?
They speak English.
No, I know. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that kind of, hey, gents or something. I don't know. Is there?
Well, I don't know. Well, for Australia, it would be, you know, like, good day, mate. But
how was that?
Good day, mate. But that's, but you know, New Zealand is different. So I'm
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we won't attempt it. So let us know. Send us an email and let us know how we are to greet you anyway. So anyway, we got a topic today that has everything to do with me and how to correct all this sort of thing. I tell you what,
going to sit back and listen to Raul talk all day.
No, I'm going to listen in to figure out how to get this taken care of. But it's all about people pleasing and what that looks like. How the effects of that in our lives and in others' lives with us. And I don't know why I feel like somebody's rustling with leaves, kind of hard crunch leaves.
In your headphones?
It's probably just in my head, right?
It's the problem's not with your headphones.
Okay, I'm just going to leave and let you just talk about this stuff. Anyway, in the studio with me today, if you haven't recognized the voice, it's Eric. The Mib is here. The Mib is present in the studio. So anyway, so have you got a topic for topic?
Well, yeah. We already introduced
an
the topic.
Encouragement.
But you know what? Yeah.
These guys are listening going, come on.
I know, let's get to the show.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I know that every time I'm sitting in this chair, you ask me, do you have an encouragement for the guys? And so as I'm walking up the stairs towards the studio, I'm thinking, So anyways, here's what comes to mind.
Okay.
In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So here we have a description of the spiritual warfare that goes on within men, where we have, you know, in our flesh we have desires to do things, and these desires are against the Spirit. And so, you know, we will often carry out the desires of the flesh, right? But the
yes.
Spirit wants to keep us from doing that. And the opposite is true also, that our flesh wants to keep us from doing the desires of the Spirit, you know, because they're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And the text says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Yes.
Well, then that raises a whole bunch of questions. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit, and how do you do it? And that's a huge topic. I'm not going to get into that because we could be sitting here for a long time. But I'm not sure that I have the right answer for it, to tell you the truth. But I do know that you know, we're talking about the spiritual warfare that goes on, and it's tiring. Well, I mean, every day to wake up to the spiritual battle where the flesh wants to do its thing and the Spirit wants to work within you in a certain way. And there's, and it's just, you know, it's just constant. There's this constant battle, and it's really, really tiring. And so my encouragement to the guys is, you know, don't grow weary in fighting this battle, because it's easy to just say, you know, today I quit. Well, when you do that, you know, we've already said that I'm going to do what the flesh wants me to do. And we're going to fall into patterns of sin. Okay. So I'm just saying to the guys, don't grow weary in doing good. And continue to seek God and His power. Because when we're tired, you know, we are weak. You know, God chose us because we're weak. It says so in one of the Corinthian letters. I don't remember where. If I knew where, I'd tell you. But, you know, we are weak. And God's strength is perfected in our weakness. And He will provide us everything that we need for the day. In 1 Peter, it says that He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So let's seek Him above all else.
You just answered what is walking in the Spirit, okay? So I'm just going to tell you, plain and simple, that's what you did. Because it really comes down to, we are spirit beings, okay? We have this flesh on this earth. And when things are all finished, when Jesus calls us and we're all together, we're going to be in spirit with Him. He's going to give us new bodies, but these aren't going to matter. But the fact is, simply, is that the battle that takes place is my desire to want something versus doing it the way that God wants it. That's what the battle is. It's not about me and the enemy necessarily. It's about how I'm going to handle that. And when I can submit to the Lord and allow His will to be done in my life, how do I know it's His will? Well, there's a few ways of being able to figure that out. But I know this, is that when I end up doing His will, for some reason, things seem to go a little smoother. May not necessarily go the way I want it to go, but it goes a little smoother, maybe a whole lot smoother.
It can, and it can also go in a way that seems a whole lot more difficult.
Yep.
Because sometimes, you know, this world does not like it when we stand up for and do the things of God, because this world is set against God. So that can happen, too.
And that's part of our... becoming, or, you know, a follower of Christ. I mean, that's all part of it, right? I mean, we're not to expect comfort. This whole thing is about battle. That's why He chose us, the guys who are listening, and you and I, because He said, I want you to battle for me. You're mighty men of God. You're a son of mine, and I chose you. So just accept the challenge and say, okay, Lord, fill me up. Give me everything that you need.
Yep, fill me up, Lord, because He is the one who provides the strength to make it through every day and to, you know, survive in this battle.
Yeah, and really what it comes down to, He's given us everything we need, but we just don't know how to tap into it. So how do we find out? Well, go to the book of instructions. Here it is, right? 66 books, all bound together as one, okay? That is the book of instructions on how to tap into the power that is in us. Praise God.
Praise God. All right.
Good. End it right there. Let's just walk right into this, where we fall short of the glory of God so often. This is an area where I, wanting to be accepted and known, being able to be seen, recognized to a certain degree, causes this character defect to bloom, to blossom, and to flourish sometimes. Now, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily good. And it's something that has always been a part of my life as far back as I can recall. And that is being a people pleaser, okay? Doing everything to please those that are around me. They don't necessarily have to be an authority. They could be someone who's a peer, or even people who are in a sense that I'm in authority over, okay? Because you're a people pleaser, it means that you've got a lot of work ahead of you. and people aren't going to like it. You might think they're going to like you, but they're going to sit there and go, man, this guy has no spine, or, you know, man, he's just wishy-washy. You know that part that it talks about in James, that the man who doubts is like a wave, you know, kind of kicking him around. Yeah, that's me. That was me. There's no doubt. Less of that today than I've ever been. But boy, I tell you what, this one just relates. When you sent that to me, that text this morning, and I just went, okay. I'm not talking. I'm just going to listen. So now I'm just about done.
Oh, boy. If we're just relying on Eric to do the rest of the show. So I think about childhood. You know, we can go all the way back to, you know, where we're learning to be, you know, obedient to our parents and to do the things that they ask us to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we can kind of program our minds in that is that when we're little kids, you know, we seek to do what our parents tell us to do so that we can win their approval, mm-hmm. in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because we want them to be pleased with us.
Yes.
And because we do that, we've kind of even established a pattern, even from very early in our lives. But the one thing that we didn't realize when we were kids is that our parents already loved us.
Yes.
Before we were obedient to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I'd think about the day that my children were born, and I was just overwhelmed with love for them. They hadn't done anything to deserve that love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just, you know, all wiggly and miscolored, and all they know how to do is, you know,
that would be discolored.
Poop and eat.
Not just miscolored.
Yeah, not miscolored. Yeah. I went outside the lines. Yeah, okay. Discolored. You could have just not said anything. Nobody would have picked up on it.
No, I know. Okay. My point is
that it's, you know, it's a pattern that we learn from early on. And it carries on into adulthood, and we really do. We want to seek to please people, right? We want to make them happy. I think about how this carried on in my own life, and I was in my 20s, and I was one of the few people in my group of friends who had a car, and insurance, and a job. Okay.
Yes.
Although I wasn't making much money, I was delivering pizzas at the time, and I think I was maybe getting, you know, a buck more than minimum wage, and people would, you know, tip me 50 cents when I brought them their pizza. This was a long time ago.
And you were happy with that?
I was content. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, because I had enough to get by, and but one of the things is being one of the few people in my group of friends who actually had a car is I was always asked to drive places. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And being asked to drive places, you know, it was always my gas that was being used and my money that was going into the gas tank to pay for the gas to get other people places. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And I kept on saying, okay, sure. Okay. I'll take you there. Okay. Yes. 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 All right. And meanwhile, all the time in my mind, I'm thinking, when are you going to give me some money for gas?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You never asked the question, did you?
I did eventually. Yeah. But the thing is I allowed my desire to be a people pleaser actually caused a bunch of resentment to build up inside of me towards my friends. And then one day I just blew up.
Yes.
Okay, because I bottled it, mm-hmm. I bottled it, and then out of nowhere, I just blew up, and they're all just like, you know, throwing their hands up, and they're, what in the world is going on here? Because, you know, they didn't see it coming. I'd never given any indication that I was frustrated, and so I blew up over this, and you know, I remember my friend, he gave me all of the money that he had. He had $1. And, I mean, that's all he had. He said, this is all I have to give you. And I kept that dollar for a long time. He wrote on it, for gas. And and I kept that dollar for a long time. I don't know where it is now. I've misplaced it, and I wish I still had it.
Somebody spent because it.
I think I might have just, in a money emergency.
Jay, what did you do with that dollar that was on my counter?
Right. You know, but I kept that, and I would see that dollar bill where it says for gas, and I would remember, yes. You know, the dangers of letting those resentments build up. And it really, it did stem from my desire to be a people pleaser.
And you said a key word right there, resentment, because that's where all of this leads to, okay? You know, while you were talking, I had to go to thesaurus.com because I wanted to find out what the synonym was for pleasing. Well, you know, it doesn't come up as people pleaser, it's just pleasing, okay? So, and the definition for pleasing is nice, okay? That's mm-hmm. what it says here. Synonyms are, this is, I probably not really knowing, but this is what I want it to be. Adorable, agreeable, amiable, amusing, attractive, charming, congenial, darling, delicious, delightful, enchanting, engaging, enjoyable, entertaining, favorable, good, grateful, gratifying, likable, et cetera, et cetera. There's whole bunch more.
Man, I'll tell you what, if I had all the items on that list, I would have a whole bunch of friends.
And that's exactly, exactly. But you hit it right on the head. You went right to it by piercing the simple fact that as a result of people-pleasing, you find out that you cannot people-please 24/7. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to be in a large crowd and you happen to be the one that is speaking to the crowd, you're not going to please everybody.
That's for sure.
There are going to be some that are smiling, but they're saying, oh man, they've got other thoughts going, right? And it just does not. And then when you hear about those thoughts, all of a sudden it's like, huh, it's devastating. You got to be kidding. Why would they not like what I said? You know, maybe I need to talk to them so I can straighten it out. And what that means is I'm going to adjust it to fit them.
Yeah. And that can also be really prevalent inside of the church.
Yes.
You think that, you know, inside of the church that things get always run smoothly. But, you know, we all have our presuppositions and our theology that we hold to on these, you know, secondary issues. And
yes.
So if we say something that is contrary to somebody's idea on some sort of secondary issue of theology, mm-hmm. well, there's a good chance that you're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, even inside the church, you can't please everybody.
Yes.
There's going to be, you know, all those, you know, there's going to be divisions.
Well, you just have different personalities, different upbringings, different thoughts, different everything, definitions on everything. And it's just not going to happen. So that means, in a sense, that if you're trying to people please, you might as well just give up now because it may work for a little while, but it's going to catch up to you. And what ends up taking place is this thing called resentment. I want to take a break right now. Then I want to come back and I want to talk about this sort of thing. You've got a whole bunch of notes. Look at my notes. I've got the Bible.
You've got the whole Bible. You've got a lot more notes than I do.
And then we'll talk about that when we get back and see what happens. I'm going to tell you this right now is that I'm not going to people please you this morning. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
And it seems like no one in this whole world cares. And you wanna get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and we're talking about people-pleasing and stuff. You know, I just want to kind of dip into this arena of why it is that we need to people-please or feel the desire to people-please. It could be from, there could be many, many reasons. And because I have been in the past more of a people-pleaser than I am today, I know what I felt and the reason that I did it. I wanted approval. Again, I wanted to be recognized. I wanted something that I wasn't. Does that make any sense? I wanted to be something that I wasn't. Okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe not even supposed to be. But I thought that would give me some of the things that I wanted. Little did I realize, as a people pleaser, one of the defects of character that carried along that with me was controlling. Huh. Amazing how they kind of blend together.
Right,
as a controller,
right, yeah.
And people pleasing.
Yeah. Because we think that in our people pleasing, if I continue to do, you know, this thing for that person and say yes to this thing,
right,
then you know, then in a sense I can control the situation in the future, or even in this very
right.
situation where if I say yes, I'm going to do something, well, I get to control what it is that I've just said yes to.
Yes, yes.
You know, so yeah, you're exactly right that we can actually use this people pleasing as a method of being controlling.
Yes, and part of what ends up taking place is that because it's so much work to be a people pleaser, it really is. Because you've got to remember what it is that you said to that person last time. You've got to remember that you got to, and especially if they're in with other people that you're people pleasing to, and then trying to make it all okay with everybody. So that they look at you as like, you're okay, you know, rather than saying, you know what, I can't please all of you. So.
Yeah, well, when we want to make sure that everybody is okay,
yeah.
You know, it's like we're trying to manage their emotions.
Yes.
And what they feel.
Yep.
And that's.
That's back to that controlling thing.
Yeah, it is. That's a controlling thing. And it's also very draining on the people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're taking upon ourselves all of their emotions,
right?
You know, because we want to try to help them manage, you know, what they feel so that they mm-hmm. can get, you know, to this nice, you know, happy, joyful state.
Right.
And so we're taking all of it upon ourselves.
Right.
When that's, you know, Jesus says, come to me,
yes,
all who are weary and heavy laden,
yes,
and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Yeah.
Okay. This that's the words of Jesus.
Yes.
All right. But what we do is we say, hey, come to me.
Come to me. Yeah.
All who are weary and heavy laden.
That's just it. Yeah. That's where we do the God thing with the little G, and of thinking that okay, we're mm-hmm. going to be the one, the helper, the savior, the one that they're going to look to, and et cetera, et cetera. And that is just a manifest, a blend of destruction that's about to happen as a result of that.
Right. Well, because we seek the praise of men.
Yes.
Okay. We seek praise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God is the only one worthy of praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what do? We seek it.
Yeah.
You know, we seek to be like God. Now, we can go all the way back to the garden. Remember when Eve was deceived and the serpent said, when you eat this apple, you will become like God.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's all of our, that's the desire of
so
the
weakness
of our heart.
So what you're saying is that the majority of us would probably have done the same thing that even Adam did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Okay?
I mean, we look at them and blame them. Oh, yeah, Eve only had done this,
exactly.
We wouldn't be in this situation. If you were in her, she didn't have shoes, but I can say, if you were in
her
situation, if you were in their situation, we would have made the same decision because we are of the flesh and there's that part of us that we just, yeah, same thing, same reason that Lucifer was thrown out, right?
Mm-hmm.
His pride got in the way. Wow. How did we get to pride from people pleasing? Amazing. Amazing the things that attach to this people pleasing thing. That seems like such a very nice thing. I just want to please everybody. But there are subtle things that are very, in some cases, can be very dark, okay, very sinful, and to where it takes us away from being in God's presence. And maybe God just turns away from us. He looks away. He says, come on, you know, this is not the way it ought to be. My point being is that little did I realize this thing that didn't seem to be no harm, no foul, everything should be okay, was more or worse than what I had anticipated. And the one that was actually not benefiting at all was me. Because as a result of not being able to accomplish what I wanted to, I ended up resenting. And resentment toward people, places, and things. And you know, when you're full of resentment, there's nothing that's going to make you happy.
Yeah, it really is. It's like drinking poison, hoping that it's going to hurt the other person.
Yeah, yeah. It's that bitter root that it talks about in the Bible, okay? That we're supposed to stay clear of that, okay? Not to hold anything. But part of it is like what you had mentioned earlier, where the Lord says, Jesus said, hey, come unto me, you know? Yoke up with me. Don't, you know, not, and instead, I'm over here and say, hey, come on, yoke up with me. You know, let me show you the, you know, the way of being able to do, and that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about.
That's,
you know,
right.
There's, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out that, you know, that scripture talks along the same lines where, here in John 5:44, Jesus is speaking. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? You know, where this is Jesus talking about how this this idea of wanting to receive glory from each other, you know, like I want to do something nice for Raul and receive praise from him. You know, what I'm doing there is I'm misplacing glory. I'm seeking it for myself, and I'm not giving it to God.
Yes, yes.
You know, so Scripture, it talks about this in a number of different places. It just is one of them where Jesus himself was talking.
You know, so often when it comes to this sort of thing, I believe the majority of people probably fall into this tank.
To some degree,
sometimes. Sometimes it's just like a little wading pool. I'm just going to go ankle high, you know, like a little children's pool type of thing. You know, that's all I'm going to do. But then, like myself, you're into the deep section. You're trying to take care of
and you're just trying to keep
your
muscles
down underwater.
Above the water,
yeah. You're trying to do all this stuff. You know, people pleasing, okay, when it becomes a full-time job, is like trying to keep three beach balls underwater at the same time. It's almost impossible. One is difficult. It's challenging enough in itself. You do two of them, one underneath both hands, and you try to keep them down. That's not so bad. Now you bring a third one in, and you're trying to do it with your legs or with trying to under your arm. And it just doesn't work. When you're trying to get one, the other one pops up. It just doesn't work.
I'm going
to
go buy some beach balls.
Seriously.
Give this a shot.
Do that, and you can show your kids. I want to show you. Anyway.
This is what it's like when you try to please everybody all the time.
Yes, it just does not happen. It's no different. You can save money by buying the beach balls. They're cheaper than buying plates to spin on a stick. Okay? You get
that
to balance and so on and so forth. Same thing goes there. Okay?
I think I'll go with the beach balls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot less, not so much damage that takes place. But, you know, I want to talk, or what other areas that you want to talk about in this people pleasing? Because, see, you just opened a can of worms, and I'm just sitting there going, all these things. Go ahead.
This desire to be people pleasing can actually go in some really extreme and dangerous directions.
Mm.
And some of the examples given in Scripture is where people actually distort the gospel of Jesus in order to be a people pleaser, in order to please men.
Yes.
And we see that even today. There's people who are distorting the gospel in order to be a people pleaser or in order to achieve their own ends. You know, and I could name some televangelists, but I'm not going to go down that road. But
that's
a
good idea.
but we see it in
yes.
today's culture, and I when I say that, I know that the guys are thinking, oh yeah, I've seen that, and that was the same thing in in Galatians. Paul says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and this is the way that it was being manifest in Paul's day, is that these people who were seeking to please man were in fact distorting the gospel. So this is like, you know, the extreme that being a people pleaser can come to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be to that extreme in our own lives, but in a sense, sometimes it is, because am I seeking the approval of man, or am I seeking to be a servant of Christ?
Yes.
You know, just like Paul says, you know, I would not be a servant of Christ if I was doing these things. And so that is, you know, in a sense, when we are seeking the approval of others, that we are, in a sense, distorting the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus has done it all. And like we said earlier, that we can come to him when we're weary and heavy laden.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about this, the reason that we choose to be a people pleaser. And what underlying what it really truly is all about. We're going to be a little more transparent here. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
My shades are gone.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Amazing Grace. What a great song. I mean, he just loves us despite our shortcomings and the little feeble things that we try to do in this life. He's saying, man, I'm just trying to use you. Raul, what are you doing with all this stuff? Why do you keep going this route and everything? You know, I had mentioned about people pleasing. Part of the reason that we do that sort of thing, and I want you to understand that I'm only speaking from my own experience, okay? Not because I've read books on people-pleasing and inappropriate behavior. It says, sure, I've come across that sort of thing in some of my readings, but it's not about that. I'm not here to point it out to you. This is my own stuff that I'm talking about, okay?
Yeah, which is kind of funny because during the break we were talking and we came to the revelation that Raul, you thought that I brought up this topic because of you.
Yes.
That it was
yes.
all about you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting back, I didn't realize that you had people-pleasing tendencies, you know,
yes,
and then you said well, you hide it well.
Yeah. Because I don't see it. It's not that you hide it necessarily. You just don't do it is what it comes down to. And that's
a
good thing.
I do it.
But I don't notice it. And I just need to hang around you a little bit more. And may I call Stephanie and ask her and say, hey, does he do this? You know, anyway. But, you know, one of the things that I found in my own experiences of having this, and I'm going to call it a defect of character because it is a character defect, okay, is that it, first off, is fear is the underlying thing of the whole thing. I'm afraid that people will have wrong thoughts or feelings toward me, okay? So in desiring to gain some approval means that I'm lacking in something, okay? And that I have insecurity. Insecurity. Most guys, the majority of us, don't want to admit that I'm insecure, because that means that if I say that to some, people are going to say, oh, he's vulnerable now. People are going to take advantage of that. And he's just going to be just a, whip monkey in a sense, whatever. But my point being is that what it comes down to it is that I'm feeling insecure. Now, that comes from my own experiences of things that I've experienced or endured in my past, okay, in my life, from a child all the way on up, okay, to where things that were either said to me, where I didn't feel I had a say, and I was told this is what you're going to believe and this is the way it is, and it's like I had no say in it, Okay. Mm. So as a result of that, I had no significance in my mind. So it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. Okay. And it's that there's no significance. So what I've been looking for all my life, in a sense, was significance.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. So as you're talking here, just over and over and over in my mind, what kept on coming up is, who are we in Christ?
Yes. Yes.
Because when we seek significance outside of that,
yes,
you know, we're seeking approval, you know, from the world. The
yes.
world is at enmity with God. Okay.
Yes.
And that's not who I want to be seeking approval from. I still do.
Yeah.
From time to time. But when my identity is wrapped up in God, you know, when my my approval is in Christ, when, you know, when we seek to do what is, you know, pleasing to God, and we seek to be pleasing to Him, well, then our identity is wrapped up in who Jesus is and what He has done for us. You know, and that's kind of contrast what we learn to do through all of our lives. And I think you really hit the nail on the head when you were talking about the fear, you know, that fear of not being liked, that fear of not being loved,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, the thing is that we do have that. We are loved by God.
Yes.
And we are loved perfectly by God. Mm-hmm. Yet we still seek the love and the praise of other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so what it really is it's misplaced affections.
Right.
And it's causing us, you know, like you said, to fear.
Right, right. So often, everything boils down to fear. I mean, fear is a tool of the enemy. I mean, it's an armament of the enemy to be able to dislodge us from this relationship with our Lord. When you get to that place, the more fear that He can instill in our lives, the more doubt that we have that we're capable of being able to maintain what we are maintaining. If we're relying on ourselves, if we're relying on the Lord, see, this is where if you're wishy-washy in your walk with the Lord, all of a sudden you find yourself that you're relying more on you. Yes, you may be connected. You may know a little bit about the Word. You may be able to help people as a result of that, and it looks like you're a good follower of Jesus Christ, but if you haven't truly submitted to Him, when the hammer comes down, when the heat is turned up, when mm-hmm. the boulders are bigger than what you're able to hold back, all of a sudden you start to crumble, and you have a decision to make. And what it comes down to is that, you know, we play a song on Tuesday night, The Warrior, right?
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
talks about what a true warrior is, of going down to your knees,
mm-hmm.
surrendering, submitting to the power of all things. That's God Almighty, okay, through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as a result of that, you've tapped into the power. It's not our power. It's not my power. It's His power. And in doing so, we are given clarity of mind, sometimes discernment. We're given wisdom. We're given all these things that we need to be able to take care of the challenge or the task at hand. And in doing so, all of a sudden, we find that, why did I wait so long? Why don't I go there more often? Instead of waiting until something, you know, tick, 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 tick. You know, it's going to go off any moment. Now, you ever play that game when you're holding the thing, you know, tick, 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 and then our alarm goes off, you lose. Oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My point being is that, why do we wait? Why do I wait? You don't have to wait any longer. Just start doing it now. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the fact that we're reminded that we're a new creation in Christ each and every day. So that means I can, at any day, I can start this anew. But let me give you even more hope, is that you can start your day at any time of the day. You can restart your day at any time of the day. So that means at any moment in time, I can make a new decision.
And we would not be able to do that outside of the grace of God.
No.
And that He, you know, He has forgiven us past, present, and future, right? And we stand in His grace. Grace is receiving from God that which we do not deserve, okay?
Yes.
And I do not deserve to be forgiven by God. Mm-hmm. I do not deserve to be loved by God.
Yes.
I do not deserve to be empowered by God. Mm-hmm. These are things that God does because of his great affections for his people. And this is, you know, this is why Christ died, was in order that the graces of God might be given to those who believe in him by faith. And it's because of this grace that we have that allows us to start over at any time, because there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Right? That's not, it doesn't say that there is condemnation for a day and a half until you start feeling better about yourself, and then you can start over. That's not what the scripture says at all. It says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we get that chance to start over, just like you said,
yep.
every day.
Yep.
And it's all because of what he has done.
Well, we're reminded so often, and yes, we throw scripture out, and I'm hoping that you guys write it down or even go and look at it if you just hear the address of where that might be, as in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. I just want to say that it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And then he goes on in verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interests of others. And then verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, the simple fact is that I need to continue to submit and surrender to him. When I become aware of my defects of character, the things that are not what how the Lord, through his word and his teachings, how he wants me to live this life, I know that that needs to be eliminated. And what I need to do is ask him to, Lord, give me everything possible, or thank you for everything that you give me, to be able to submit myself to you so that you can remove these things from me. May I be alert and just say, this is your will be done, not mine, Father. Your will be done. Because as a result of doing that, now I'm submitting, surrendering to him even more. And guess what he's going to do? He's probably going to bless me with trying to remove that. Now, you know, we try to hang on to things, right? Or you ever try to pull a scab off, right? You know, when it's been there for, and it looks like, okay, I'm going to yank this thing off. And you start to yank it, and all of a sudden, oh, not quite ready yet.
Yeah.
But then,
but it's too late because it's halfway hanging off.
Exactly. So you might as well just yank the whole thing off. That's where we stop when the Lord starts to remove something from us sometimes, because it's been so attached to us, and it's so tender, and there's a lot of nerve endings and feelings where we just, no, I don't want to feel this pain. But sometimes that pain is necessary to be able to have life and healing to truly take place.
Yeah, you talked about submitting to the will of God, and that's an important point, because God has established also on this earth, he has established authorities over us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so while we're talking about people pleasers, I don't want guys to get the wrong idea that we're supposed to be saying no to everybody who comes up to us and asks us to do something or tells us to do something. Because, you know, like me, I'm going to go to work here in a few minutes, okay? And my boss is going to tell me to go and do something. Well, I am, in a sense, a bondservant of my boss who has authority over me. Mm-hmm. And so when my boss says to me to go and do something, then my response is, okay, here I go. You know, and that's Titus talks about that in chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, it uses the word slaves in my translation. I think bondservant is a better translation of the word. But slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are not to be well-pleasing. They are to be well-pleasing, there we go, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing in all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Mm. So when we demonstrate that saying yes to those who are in authority over us, we're demonstrating that it is an image of the how we are, in effect, under God, and we glorify God in doing that. So I just wanted to specify to the guys that there are times when we're supposed to say yes, you know, especially when The will of God is involved. I mean, Jesus could have said, no, I don't want to go to the cross. That looks like it's going to hurt.
Yes.
But he said, I'm going to submit to the will of my Father. And I'm going to go and I'm going to, and for the joy set before me, I'm going to endure the cross.
You know, one of the characters of righteous living, okay, is practicing the things that our Lord has given us through his word, okay? We end up, it changes our character. We begin to become the men that God had intended us to be, beginning in our own homes and then going from there. And part of that is, I love the book of James for a lot of reasons, but in James chapter 5, verse 12, it says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Here's the important part. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Okay? Well, back to the yes to everything and no to nothing, in a sense, is that, well, that's going to head us down to that road of being condemned. Let's put it that way. But our life is going to end up being in the pits in the meantime, right? So what we try to do is try to gather together with other like-minded brothers so that we may be able to share our sins together, to pray together so that we may be healed.
Amen.
And yeah. That's why we continue to do this show, to be able to give you hope and knowing that there is hope out there. There's always hope. So anyway, good topic, man. I'm glad we're here to talk about you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we were.
How about you pray for our brothers?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are with us. I thank you, Father, that you have given us your will laid out in your word, Father, that we might seek you in it, Father, and that we might seek to be pleasing you in the doing of your will, Father. I pray that we would not seek the approval or the praise of men, but to seek you only above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.